My wife goes, why do you want me to order you these sunglasses, those flip-ups? And I was like, babe, we're going to be on a cruise. Like, it's important I can conduct myself in a professional manner. And she's like, I don't get it. I was like, I'm just going to show you. She's like, okay. Now she's like, you look fucking good.
Yes.
Told ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 279 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And do you know what's funny?
Not this section.
We actually recorded this at a place off the Atlantic, Ocean Avenue, where I used to sit and talk with you.
This week's guest is Sean Mackin, one of my favorite people on earth, and he's also just so happens to be the violinist in the beautiful yellow card.
Yeah, like, as you know, there were so many beautiful moments from our trip to Miami for the Emo's Not Dead cruise. We've done a whole episode about it, but even the sunshine, adventuring on the beach, and soaking up an emo holiday was nothing compared to seeing the beautiful face of one of our favorite humans, Sean Mackin, every single day. If it's seeing him up on stage, yellow card, or making us laugh backstage, he oozes positivity and is just a delight to be around. So the second we got confirmed to head out on this trip, we knew we had to get him on for his own dedicated episode. And as much as yellow card are one of my favorite bands, my favorite thing is the friendship and connection that you and Mackin have made over the years.
It's Sean on Sean crime, innit? Sean on Sean love. Yes, I was very, very lucky that I think it was back in 2014 or 2015. No, it might be 2014 then. Yellow card asked the Blackout to go out in Europe with them. And we did. And we didn't know them beforehand. And we thought they were going to be fucking dickheads. And it turns out they were fucking beautiful, lovely, lovely humans who didn't have to be nice to us. Didn't have to be nice to us. It could have been cunts. They were absolutely awesome. I bonded with Sean, especially. And yeah, what a fucking wonderful human. This is a beautiful, beautiful chat. Thank you for Yellow Card for existing. And they were just amazing on that Emo's Not Dead cruise. And it was so good to see all of them. Separate. I saw them all separately rather than all together, which was strange, but yeah, what a fucking band, what a fucking cruise, what a fucking chap, what a fucking chat. Hey, that was quite cool.
It was. I also enjoyed when we bumped into other members of Yellow Card and then realizing it was you on the boat in Miami, being very confused, and then being, one of them even said the sentence, I never thought I'd see you again.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's because he knows of my depression.
Ah.
And that's probably what it was. But no, yeah, it was funny to see him. Like, I went on to Josh, the bassist from Yellow Card, tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around, and it literally took him a good 3 seconds of brain computing time. He looked me in the face and went, ah! Ah! And I was like, ah, it is. Who'd have thought? Not me, not us. Yeah, we had a proper Paul Rudd moment. But yes, it was fucking lovely to see them all. Sending my love to Ryan, Josh, Ryan and Sean. Have I met the drummer? I think I've met the drummer. I think, funnily enough, I think the Blackout played with the drummer's old band in Sweden. Oh. Which is very strange, before he joined Yellow Card, because he's from Sweden. So, yeah, that's madness. So I've technically toured with all of Yellow Card at different times.
Hey! Oh, but they are just one of those bands that I always have the best time seeing live on the middle of the ocean in a boat. See, we saw Ocean Avenue played on the ocean, which was just a mad experience. I'm so happy that they're back. They seem over the moon with their reaction, and loved the last EP they put out last year, Childhood Eyes. And if you remember, we got to talk to Ryan and Sean back at Slam Dunk Festival. But throughout this conversation, we really take a dive into Mackin's kind of perspective on life and having a really unique point in this scene of being a violinist in a pop punk emo band. You know, we can't name anyone else that has a similar role like that. So we dive in to the nooks and crannies and everything in between, and just what it's like being back in the band after 5 years, breaking up and hiatus and all that. But before we get into the episode, another massive thank you needs to be shouted out to Emo's Not Dead for inviting us on the cruise, inviting us to have this and have the time of our lives. But I've been told some breaking news, right?
Breaking news?
They've announced the dates for 2025 for the book.
Yes.
It hasn't gone on sale yet, but it's sold out.
Yeah,
from pre-sale engagement and interest alone, which is
they're welcome.
Insane.
They are welcome. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Go on. You can have that, guys. You're welcome.
If you're gutted about that and you want a chance maybe to get on there, if anything happens, head over to emosnotdead.com to sign up to the mailing list for exclusive updates. And because you're listening to this episode, they're giving you 20% off all their merch if you use the code SAPNIN in the checkout. So,
Oh, check this out. This has just come to me. They should obviously upgrade the board, right? But then they can do a Jaws theme with "We're gonna need a bigger boat." Dave, I know you're listening to this. Dave, I know you're listening to this. If you don't use "We're gonna need a bigger boat," right? Like in Jaws, for when you ultimately upgrade to a bigger boat, because you got to, because this fucking cruise is fucking so high demand, surely. "We're gonna need a bigger boat." You welcome. You can have that. All I need is for you to somehow help me have a peaceful life at home and get my missus on the boat, because it's very, very close to her birthday and I'm already having a row for next year. So, Shit.
Follow us at SAPNINPOD on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. Share us, tell people you're listening, put it in your stories and we can have a good laugh together. And if you'd like to support this podcast in any way, please head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/SAPNIN to meet your new best friends. Get involved in a community of people who will go to gigs and festivals with you and have just a giant laugh. But without any further ado, let's get in to this wonderful conversation with the one and only Sean Mackin of Yellow Card on episode 279 of SAPNIN Podcast.
Yay! SAPNIN!
SAPNIN!
Fucking hell, that was the most aggressive one I've ever done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapnin.
Yes. Boats and hoes.
Wait, which is which?
Both. Both. Both are here. Plenty abound.
We are joined right now.
Sorry. What an intro. I'd like to first start off with an apology again.
I love it. We are joined by my favorite member of Yellow Card. Ooh. And if not my favorite person other than myself on this board. Sorry, Morg.
Go on more. Don't stop there.
The wonderful.
Reach for it.
The inspirational.
Touch it. It's real.
The energetic.
Thank you. Hey, could you throw talented in there? That'd be great.
Talented.
Yeah, thank you.
Just
hardworking.
Hardworking, yeah. Energy.
Best dressed.
Best dressed.
Low center of gravity.
You said that on me. I'm not going that far. But
that,
yes.
Hey, they're very kind of you. That could have been a test and you passed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The beautiful Sean Mackin joins us right now.
Thank you guys so much.
No, thank you. No, thank you for your time. How has this mad experience been for you on this boat?
It's been amazing. I think to have the opportunity to play Emo's Not Dead, Matt, just the way that he's taken such good care of us has been incredible. And then day one to see your beautiful shining face.
Shining.
Like just, it sent it over the top. I've been on 11 the whole time.
Aww.
You as well, sir.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, we 69 all over Europe. And I just, we have a connection now.
You do. That's one of my favorite things is just hearing the interactions between you two because it just melts my heart every single time.
It's crazy because you don't get like a handsome, across the Atlantic, you know, just fearsome frontman leader. And he put me under his wing like a little broken bird. Like, look at this little soft violin boy.
You said to me the other night, stop doing this thing. Stop doing this. You said to me the other night, you grabbed me by the shoulders and he went, look at you. You're a sex god and I'm just a violinist.
Look,
are you my friend?
I got to underplay this. I'm going to surprise you. I'm definitely going to romance you, you know, so that you're... And it worked, clearly.
It does work, yes. I will never say
when
anything.
When I look at you, my eye, like my heart gets soft, my pants get tight. Like things are good. Things are good.
You've won, yeah.
Thank you.
Will
Cheers.
Never say, if I hear anybody say a bad word about Sean Mackin.
Yeah, take a picture of him and then tackle him.
They're my mortal enemy.
Yeah, let's get it.
You've won.
Who said it?
You've killed me with kindness.
Write his name down and give it to me.
I've never heard anyone.
Here's a 20. Let's find that person.
I'm not fighting people on your behalf, is what
I'm
saying.
I'm not fighting. I just like to headbutt him.
Oh, no, me. I'll fight on your behalf.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But yes. How long ago did you find out about this? Was it straight after the last one?
The connection, obviously, with Matt and Ryan. And Ryan was on the boat last year supporting Newfound Glory. And we found out relatively early. And it was like, just trust me. They're going to take care of us. Like, you're going to have fun. And it coincided with my wife's birthday. And she's usually like, you know, we have kids. I'm a father and I have to sort of be a normal person to make sure that I don't mess my kids up. I can mess myself up, but now that I'm responsible for other humans, there's a layer of responsibility. And my wife was like, look, I never really want anything fun for my birthday, but a couple of my friends want to go. And like, I'm like, let's do it up big. And like, so we found out early enough, like late summer, to kind of just prepare. And we have a little posse with us and champagne in the mornings, and we got the deck, and we went to the beach yesterday, and pina colada, and flip-up sunglasses and short shorts, dodgeball. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. But it must be so nice to get to do something like this, because like when you're touring and you're out on the road for so long, you don't get to see the family, you don't get to hang out with the wife. But to be able to bring them to something like this, and yeah, sure, you're doing a bunch of sets in between, but having that kind of quality time on the being an island we probably would have never gone to, like on the boat, like the full shebang. It must be like a best of both worlds situation.
It's amazing. It's really like, you know, part of the hard thing and the dark side of what we do is oftentimes as men, there's that stigma that we're tough and rough and tumble, and we don't ask for help until it's too late. It gets so lonely living out of the bag and living out of the hotel room. It's no big deal, right? And so on the flip side of the coin, you get those big high highs. Everyone's singing your song. They appreciate what you create. And it's like, you can't always pick your favorite part. It all is part of that soup. And so to have a moment like this, to be able to celebrate still kind of on the backside of 20 years of Ocean Avenue, that really the album that got us here, and we're embracing it, we're leaning into that, but to bring our wives, and the only historical yellow card trip that we've had, all of our wives and girlfriends, like the whole clan is out except for the kids. And I mean, we are having a great time, and Matt has created an environment and a brand, and that, you know, he's out with his wife and their families, and even the fans that have subscribed to this, and I hope everyone's just having, I mean, with the leaning and the tumbling and be responsible, but yeah. I'm glad it looks like everyone's having fun, but even respectful to the artists who are like at arm's reach away, and we're having breakfast with each other. Everyone has been so kind. This is just a great community to be a part of. And we're very thankful to Matt and Emo's Not Dead and take us out to the Bahamas and kind of get us a little roughed up. But it's been fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Like, we never thought we'd get to experience anything like this. So the fact that we're sat here with you on a boat in the middle of the ocean is—it's
definitely me. That's the tip of the iceberg for you guys.
I didn't think I'd be allowed out of the UK. So,
is it always a surprise for you?
I was worried.
You get to border crossing and they're like, "Oh," and you like kind of hold your breath.
Well, when we got into Miami, I was like, "I'm going to get pulled aside now at some point," and then get fingered by somebody backstage or whatever it is that you can't, whatever they call
you,
it inside.
You
the
can't
airport.
Tip them for that. they do it on their own accord. You can't pay them for that.
So I was a little bit worried about that, but yeah, I came straight from stage. Like, I came literally from Kentish Town Forum to Gatwick to here. So for the first day, I was a bit spaced out and a bit.
Which I love, by the way, following you and the boys.
Thank you very much.
Amazing. See, not a surprise, to be honest, from an outsider to see such a lovely group of lads put some music together. So,
cheers.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
of course.
You.
Yeah. Well, what's it like now? Like, obviously, we spoke to you last year at Slam Dunk Festival in the UK. And coming back, we're still relatively new. Like, you were just about to put out Childhood Eyes as an EP. And you're still kind of like, oh, wait, we're a band again. Like, you've had that other year of getting used to this world. So what has it been like for you personally getting back into Yellow Card and being able to wrap your head around this in a different way?
Is there any differences, I suppose?
Yeah, 1000%. We're headlining. We had the biggest tour of our whole life in the last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a whirlwind around the world. I think the hardest part, and it's easier for us to make we have a common Yellow Card band joke that this is an alternate reality. We had 03, 04, 05, just an insane Yellow Card run. And with the music business, that plateau, and it was really just a descent after that. At first into our first hiatus, and then through to when the band really thought we retired in 2017. I mean, just a plane landing. We never got another pop. We never felt like we were scrambling. We couldn't get to that level. We couldn't claw our way back. And with effort in quicksand, you know, it just kind of drained us. And so right now, to feel loved, appreciated, lifted up, embraced. And, you know, we saw Story of the Year, and it's like just to see all these guys on the other side of it, on the other side of 30 and 40, and like just to have a reinvigorated audience just embrace you, like that feeling is the best, and almost feels like I don't know how it happened. And so celebrating the 20 years of Ocean Avenue, which changed our life, and having this opportunity to go again. I mean, I lived a full executive lifestyle. You know, yeah, I was service director running big time, you know, auto group proceedings, you know, up at 4:30 every day, home for dinner at 7, put the kids to bed, did that 6 days a week. And I mean, I'll go to great lengths to take care of my family and take care of people that I love. And it's just right now it is affording me some time at home, you know, pick up the violin or the mandolin or the guitar and kind of fiddle around, cook for the kids, and then back on the road to see, you know, beautiful faces like your guys's and sing songs. It's like, you can't really explain it. So that's why it's easier to say, hey, it's just a glitch in the matrix. We're playing Ocean Avenue in the middle of the fucking ocean. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so, whatever it is, whatever the reason is, like, I'm going to lean into it. I want to feel good all the time. I want to make sure people know how happy we are, how thankful we are. And I'm not a perfect person. If I make a mistake along the way, I'll say I'm sorry. But yeah, we're leaning into it. We're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Do you remember who made the call about getting together again? Or how that happened?
I think it's a collaboration. I think it came from a combination of our booking agent and Ryan. Ryan's been playing music kind of straight through that time off, and I had just thought that, I mean, I play violin. Like, there's the only other violinist on board is a quartet they hired to play Titanic, you know, classical music while people are eating dinner, right? Yeah. So, like, I get it. I'm not supposed to be here. Like, so I just had figured that, you know, my time was done in the band, and I didn't want to be part of a starving artist with a family. And I could wring it out if I was sitting in one bedroom and was by myself, but my kids, my wife, they probably didn't sign up for that. And they'll sit here and tell you, they're like, we'll support you, and they're amazing, and that's what true love is, and I'm very thankful for that. But when the time of our 20th anniversary came up and people decided that it was okay to go outside and they want to live their lives, and people started embracing this sort of culture of emo, you know, post-rock, kind of hardcore, post-hardcore, whatever. And it really, to me, it just feels like a similar Warped Tour reunion style vibe. I mean, we had to be a part of it. And so Ryan and our booking agent were like, hey, let's try this. And, you know, it could be a couple shows and we'll see what it is. And from Riot Fest to Slam Dunk, and then the tour last year, just being embraced by everyone who's ever heard the name Yellow Card.
Yeah.
Opportunity to kind of do this for a living again. So that is the joy part of it. And I think back in the day where maybe we were young and looking at a huge landscape, to focus on the things right now that are important. Like last year, it was that tour. We want to smash the tour. This year was this boat releasing some new music. Ryan had some reimagined project that he was doing with a buddy, which is pretty ambient, kind of very different for us, which kind of slipped that out as a surprise this year. We had the EP released last year to kind of support the tour. And going into a huge surprise where, you know, we're growing up, you're listening to, you know, music and CDs and the 90s and stuff. And Third Eye Blind is like, hey, you guys want to come and tour with us? And we're like, total surprise. We were like, do we take the year off? Like, what do we do? They're like, no, we want you guys to come and tour with us. And so we want this summer tour supporting Third Eye Blind just to be a total smash. And I don't know what 25 is, but right now we're focused on being the best Yellow Card for right now, for our fans, for us. And that's what we're looking at.
But that's just so beautiful to hear how things can come full circle in those really, those organic ways. But you mentioned there, like, you know, doing the normal 9-to-5 job and providing for the family that way. When?
Yeah, it was 5-to-7, though.
Oh,
it's different.
Yeah,
you
got to
work harder. I think it's inflation. I think that's how it works. The older guys, they're like 9-to-5, and that between that time, they could make enough.
Yeah.
But now with inflation, you have to work at 5 in the morning till 7 p.m. And hope that it's enough.
Yeah.
That's the definition.
Was there a point where you were kind of worried about doing the band again, going from that kind of normal job, or with it because it'd been so long since the band had stopped that it was just like, no, I need to go back and do this?
Absolutely. I mean, I went from having two jobs last year and asking for a leave of absence for a company that, I mean, if lightning strikes and I have to go back, I would happily work for them, right? And then I asked for a leave of absence, which they granted. And then I was like, I don't have to come back. So I'm like, I don't think I'm going to come back. And then they called me. They're like, when are you coming back? And I'm like, I'll just let you guys know. And so, again, it was relatively organic to where I didn't have the answer. And I think trying to make the answer and make the plan and part of that and be prepared, I think that is part of like head of household or running a business, you know, or being a big brother or whatever that looks like for a lot of people. But I think coming from a couple of rough years, you know, my wife was sick and it was just nice to be in the moment and just like enjoy that moment. So my wife healing from breast cancer, she had stage 2 breast cancer. It kind of took our year away, and then to be able to have some fun and 23, 24 and see her smiling again and see my kids. I have young kids, you know, so
yeah,
my son might not remember, you know, something like that, but it felt very organic. I was supported from the band. We were supported from both the people that help run Yellow Card and the business that I worked for before then. And I think I said something on stage the other night. I don't think we all sometimes truly understand what you go through every day to get here. The struggles in your life, and I will be here for you if you ever need to talk about that, or you, right? And I think you would say the same thing to me, but I took a moment. I'm like, I don't know what it takes for other people to be here to support our band or to have fun and do what they want to do. I really want to think about, hey, we go through a lot to do those things. So it's important, like the levels of gratitude when people show up for you. Thank you used to be enough, and I wish that it is, but I want to tell people, I'm like, hey, I understand, like shit gets hard sometimes. So yeah. and that's really the part of going from transitioning from, you know, one occupation or the other, or you know, being in Yellow Card or not being in Yellow Card. And it's funny how that can change just in an instant.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. But it's nice to see that you've got that approach, everything, and you're taking it as if like you never know what's gonna happen next.
Man, we just never know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I love you, lads. I'm gonna say it right now. I don't want to see it again. I just love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. I want to rewind a little bit and pick up on something you said, and that's about, you know, being a violinist. And you make always this joke that, you know, you're not supposed to be here. You got lucky because you're a violinist in a band with a scene that we can't really name anyone else that's kind of done the similar role that you have. Like, it must be such a unique look at the industry from your point of view, but such an just weird way of being in it as well. Like, as a violinist in an emo band or a pop punk band or whatever you want to call it, like, how do you approach that differently?
I just think it's support. Like, I have great guys in the band, and we are open to so many different things. I think we struggled finding like different uses for the violin. I never want it to feel like forced.
Yeah.
I think the easiest way to explain it is when I was growing up, we had 3 dogs. One was like a husky, and one was like a half wolf kind of deal, and a chow chow. And then we had an alley cat, and that alley cat was mean. But he thought he was a dog. And I just think that I am a violin player that thinks I'm a guitar player. I just got a little stick and a, you know, dancing 4-string instrument. And
a long plectrum.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, very, very. There it is. Long plectrum. There it is. Thank you. You heard it here first. And so it's like, you know, until we get to a place, and I think now more than ever, there are more non-traditional rock instruments in music than almost ever before. And when you look historically at albums, I mean, you can hear people are putting strings and keyboards and things in since the beginning of time. So until people are like, okay, we're starting a band, we need drummer, bass player, guitar, someone that can sing or scream a little bit, and then a violin player, then I get it. But until then, I got to be the guy that holds the torch, and I happily will. And there are great musicians out there, but they don't get to do that thing unless they collaborate with a team or have a vibe. And I think that's the part that we try to capture and show everyone. And I do it a variety of ways. I have, you know, some sounds that I've built up, but the reality is Ryan Mendez, Ryan Key, Josh, when we write a yellow card song, I want to make sure that you can feel some power. Even though the instrument's small, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Strong.
Well, we were talking and kind of joking around with it. Like, what is your setup going on the tour? Like, is it just you? Like, you see a guitarist, for example, right? And you know they've got maybe four or five different guitars. Mm-hmm. There's a guitar tech. There's all the leads. There's everything else you need to do there. What is your setup? Do you have a violin tech? Is it just you? Is it just one violin? Is it like
it's different, you know, kind of for every guy that we have, but. We have a guy right now kind of on loan from Amberlin. His name is John Kruger, and he is exceptional. He's got some luthier talent, so if we get in a pickle, he knows his way around a variety of instruments, and he's like, yo, let me do that for you. And I'm not a control freak, but I just know, like, I mean, a pack of strings is like $240. They last a little longer than a guitar string, and I just want to make sure that I, not that he can't do it, that I want to do it, right? That's my instrument. So, but after that, it's like set it, forget it. He helps me with wireless and wipes the sweat off the gear at the end of the night. But I have a Line 6 Helix. Line 6 makes amazing stuff. And it's really like akin to what the guys have for Kempers. And they have Kemper little rack deals. And I mean, we're kind of gear nerds at heart, but the reality is how you get the best violin sound without some of the harshness or the acoustic noises that can ruin a performance. And I think we just have a great team, and it packages it up so it doesn't have any of those negative live effects, and I can do a lot of cool things with it. And some of those are secret trademark Sean Mackin things, and I'm not going to tell you guys. But yeah, like, I mean, I have some distortion. I got some delays. I got a bunch of reverb. I got some compression. I'm trying to make it look good, you know?
So, but prior to like the Line 6 and stuff, because surely you've been going, you started in Yellow Card before all that. Was there ever the use of like guitar amps for it? Or?
Oh, yeah. I worked as a cook, like a kitchen guy, in the early Yellow Card days. I worked all summer about a Fender ProSonic ripping half stack, and I was like, and it was loud. And then, I had an assortment of pedals and everything. And Mesa Boogie sponsored Yellow Card for a good number of years. I mean, I have two prototype chassis at my house. They don't fire up anymore, but like they were making, which is basically now like a kind of a low voltage kind of blues tweed amp. And they kind of did that for us. But you'd get speaker woof from the bow. And so it's like, then, you know, how do you EQ that out or whatever? And so the best sounds that we had is I had a Line 6 Pod Pro rack, for 4 or 5 years. And then the Helix is just a floor processor pedal. So I've gone through the entire guitar system. I mean, also I have guitar nerds in our band, right? Like we talk about gear because we want to make sure at the show we sound like the Jesus. Like that's the thing. It's like, if you don't sound good, it doesn't, I mean, I'm not as handsome as Sean, right? I can't go out there and looks alone. I had a lady straight up. She's like, that's not a mullet, honey. Look at him. He's so beautiful. She's like, you're acceptable. This is exceptional. She said it to my face.
Yeah, wow.
Then, yeah, it hurt.
Yeah, but don't try to get out of it. No, you've just said.
What? The acceptable. That's what I said for me.
No.
You said you are exceptional.
No, you said you couldn't just get away with. You made out like everything I've done has been based off how I look and not how I perform.
Oh, I didn't mean that subconsciously. I'm saying that it might be easier for you, especially in the land where you come from.
Yeah.
Your teeth are generally very straightish. Right? We talked about that. That's acceptable. No, and it was just sorry. We were gonna edit that out. No, I think it's just like, not only are you charismatic and talented, I think it's just probably easier for you to fall back on how handsome you are. Whereas me, I've had to work for everything I have.
That's not true.
You're shaking your head because you're like, man, I can't imagine working that hard.
You've lost him. But I've always found, like, watching the Yellow Card for years, like, you're almost like a second front man in a lot of ways. Like, just on
Don't tell Ryan that. Ryan, you can't listen to this part.
Okay, you will hate that.
But, like, no, you bring a lot of different energy and sometimes...
Captivating.
Like, yeah, when there's parts of the songs where you're not playing for a while or whatever, it's like if you're one of the fans on stage, you're just trying to get a gear and you're singing along. You're just, like, having a fun time up there.
I very much have a fun time. Thank you. I don't want to take away from Ryan. I don't want to distract or anything like that, but I just think that, like, we're a team, and if he's singing or if he's taking a break or whatever, like, I want to be there for our show. I want to be there for the guys, and there's so much to observe and the relationship between the audience and what happens on stage. And I think part of what has made our bands different from other styles in music of rock is that we're a generation of accessible musicians. And so if I can't get excited about what we do, how am I to expect the people in the audience to jump around, mosh, crowd surf? I mean, even like Sean, he was so excited last night that he was singing jubilantly to our band, and he dropped a crowd surfer next to him.
I wish
that I could have captured the surprise.
I'm glad you guys got
on his face.
I know that much.
The moment he looked at me was like, oh shit, am I responsible for this person?
Yeah.
Sorry,
and
person.
And she's dead.
And then he scurried away and continued on living his life.
I was like, I gotta go.
But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, I want to enjoy that part.
Yeah, yeah.
That part is for me.
Yeah.
I've made the songs, we've made the songs, and now we're here together. Why don't I get to enjoy that too? Yeah. And so I don't want to take away from the guys, I want to add to it. And if Ryan pulls me aside, he's like, hey, you have really great hair. I don't like it when you stand near me because it's strong. Like, I would respect that. He hasn't said it yet.
Yet. Keyword is yet. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
But you were saying that incident in the crowd was you doing the Ultimate Warriors finishing move, yeah, right? Just for clarification.
Yeah, I didn't drop her because I'm very strong. It was actually the Gorilla Press, the Ultimate Warriors finisher move.
Yes.
He used to pick him up and just drop him over the back of his head. So I'd seen her about the festival a couple of times.
Yeah.
She was a bit annoying, so I thought...
She had it coming. Someone was going to do
it. Yeah.
I actually don't think you did it. I just think that you were...
It happened to you very near
you, in proximity.
I think I might have been able to have stopped it.
I think liability... Well,
yeah, now saying this,
looking forward, your eyes are forward. It kind of happened side behind you. So from a liability standpoint, I wouldn't put you at responsibility.
You are... Thank you very much. Yeah,
that was just as an alibi.
Yeah,
I noticed that your eyes were forward,
and she was coming from
and
a sideways,
kind of like a T-bone rear quarter panel, and like it's not near your line of sight.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm.
And I think you were there to help her up.
I was there. I don't think you looked
and spit on her face and said, "Ha ha."
No. I might have given her a little kick or two.
Land on your
but
feet.
But just to check she was alive.
Yeah. Make sure she start breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a tick, tick.
Yeah. Oh, it was in the chest. You saw it when I was kicking her in the chest.
Clear. Boom. Clear. Yeah, she's breathing. Thank goodness. Broken rib now, but she's good.
Better a broken rib than not breathing, I say.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Oh god. Brilliant.
On the same level with like just your role as a violinist, I'm sure like you must have had so many messages or just people come up to you over the years that have said you have inspired them to take up the violin or even kind of feel, I don't want to say accepted by playing it, but you know, it's not like the most rock and roll instrument traditionally.
Absolutely. It's my favorite part.
So I'm sure that there's been people being like watching you in Yellow Card over the years has been able to make them think like, oh no, it is rock and roll. It is a badass instrument to play.
Yeah. I mean, I want it to be badass. I don't know if it is off the bat, but that's my favorite part. And all wide ranging instruments, If left to my own devices, I would have quit when I was 11. Want to play, you know, I thought play pro sports, you know, like that's the romantic idea. Realizing that at 5'11 and, you know, what was 165 pounds, probably wasn't going to get it done. You know, just not written in my genetic code. I have effort. I try hard. My mom's like, hey, you're going to play violin. So I tried to quit all the time. And I think had I not had that support from my mom or discipline or abuse, whatever you guys want to call it, I wouldn't be here. And I think my mom and I are closer now for it because she's not a big fan of rock music. She likes the quiet classical side. She's getting older, but she loves knowing that she has such a big impact on me. And I think a butterfly effect, a lot of people and listeners and things like that. And I think she's starting to see that. Yeah. So just a big shout out to my mom for being strong willed enough.
Well, I think how many violinists she's technically inspired by making.
It's pretty cool. It's a big net.
Woo, I got a call for your mom.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. She's pretty red and she's stubborn and she's tough, but you know, she got us here and we're on a boat playing rock music. So
yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Is there been many other artists who have like approached you to be like, hey, we need some like strings or something on this song. Would you do it? Like, I'm be surprised if people haven't like tried to get your services on their material.
Yeah, and we have. I think Silverstein in 2005, they reached out and I did some arrangement. I did arrangement for Amber Lynn. It was tricky. Early in the Yellow Card days, some of our group was like, we should not bottle this and sell this.
Hmm.
And so now that Yellow Card is back and going, I just want to play music as much as possible. So people reach out to write songs and other stuff. I mean, my inbox is not full right now because it's a nice way to say it. But I mean, it has to be the right project also. Like my time with my family is very important and I want to play music. And if the project is right, like I will go to my music and how I kind of operate is if I'm going to do something, I want to do it 10 tenths. It has to be good. I have to focus. I want it to be, if it has my name on it, I want people to be like, yeah, I can tell he didn't phone this in. This is good. So, now that I'm playing music again, if you guys need some, I mean, it's not just violin string arrangement, you know, background music or whatever, leads and hooks and songwriting or whatever. On the next Blackout record.
There isn't one, but if it was.
If there were to be some type of celebration, something to consider. But yeah, so I think it was hard from saying no to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Until now, it's like, I want to be playing music. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's just like Amberlin, Silverstein, all the way to, you know, Casti Pope coming back to her roots, right? After a stint on an acoustic version and do some strings and stuff. It's always so flattering.
Have you ever had any producers not having recorded a violin before and found it a bit different or strange?
No, I mean, usually everyone that we've kind of come in contact with been really, I mean, super knowledgeable, right? I mean, you guys know that every recording that we've ever done, we worked with Neil Avron and he's just like, beyond, you know, my knowledge. Very early on, we worked with a studio engineer and he worked with Neil forever. He's a good friend of mine, Eric, and Eric did all my violin for every Yellow Card. That's the part I'm talking about is I have this brotherhood and he does orchestration and he's a Grammy winning engineer. And so it's like you have guys like that, that's what they do.
Mm.
I can play and write and I just know that if I try and dabble on the computer, it's going to sound like, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I don't want that. Although Mary seems nice, it's just not what everyone wants.
You said brotherhood there, and kind of being on this cruise, and with everything E&D and Emo's Not Dead, I feel like there's such a community aspect to this scene now, maybe more than there was 20 years ago. I mean, we just spoke to Dan, the Story of the Year, and like he was joking that, like, you know, the band and yourselves didn't like have a great relationship back on the day, but now you like you seem like and best of friends. Why.
And he didn't. He just thought like it was just competition. Well, there was. We were all young fellas who were in competition too.
I mean, here's the thing. Dan's a liar,
and his band fucking sucks.
And he drinks a lot. And sometimes when you get older and you have those issues, it's hard to take. Sorry, Dan. That is a bold-faced lie. And I hope that no one takes that out of context. It's funny. It's like, you know, we're such a dumb species, right? When we're young and we have all these hormones and everything. And I think with a lot of what happens, we've had some small brushes with wonderful people, and it kind of gets taken out of context.
Yeah.
And I never knew what happened with Story of the Year and Yellow Card. I never kind of pay attention to it. I'm a fan of their music. When they were doing backflips, they were doing back handsprings at one point. It turned to backflips. I think I was there for the first time they did it, kind of supporting them. Not to say I was doing backflips before they were, but like, I mean, it's just like you have handsome athletic men that sing good songs and scream more than another handsome athletic band that does backflips and doesn't scream as much. I think there's a lot of similarity there, but this is a big pool. And I think when you're in a bubble, like we were with Warped Tour and we're fighting over the same fans, maybe there was some of that competition there. And I think with time, you know, it heals all and, you know, less hormones and more gray hair or whatever that looks like. I just know that I didn't pay attention to any Yellow Card Story either. Your beef, if someone started something, I hope that it's gone and done away with. If they want to say something to me, they can say it to my face and I'll hug them and squeeze them to death because they're all relatively skinny and frail. I know you heard that, Adam, Story of the Year. I told you that you were handsome, okay?
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for interrupting me. All right, now we have to edit that part out.
but just on the surface level, I mean, like 20 years on, do you feel like there's just so much appreciation for this scene that people just being able to enjoy it? Like from the fans' point of view, that all of you guys and all these bands are back doing stuff. We can be on a cruise like this. And from the bands that you all get to do this again or still do it after all this time.
Yeah, total appreciation, total love. I think the reality too is like, I mean, even if a portion is not my favorite music, the fact that, you know, they're exceptional people, right? Like we've met dirtbags in every industry and you're just like, man, I just don't want to see that success come to that person. I feel like they're doing awful things. I am not judge and jury. I'm just witness. And I just think that like everyone here and people that we have the opportunity to hang out with, they're just such good people. Case in point, blonde mullet hawk across from me. Stars in his eyes. I get it. You're looking at me.
These
flip up glasses.
They are. Oh, that's a move.
I will tell you these authentic blue blockers. This is like a very relaxing sunshade for my eyes.
Nice.
And they're made originally in 1986. And so if you come across an original pair, I highly recommend it. This is not an ad. It's very good. Yeah.
Wow.
Enjoy it. You want to take them for a test drive?
Come on.
Here we go. Give those babies a look.
We hand it over
through the rose-tinted glass. You got to get a picture. we're gonna just pause right here for a self-portrait because, like I said, I kind of get by you. Stunning and handsome. I probably wouldn't smile with your teeth though. No, smile a little bit. Yeah, there we go. See, just to paint a picture at home. We got the Atlantic Ocean to the right here. Yes, look at that. I told you. Also, just to let you know, at home, if you do find yourself just kind of wearing these around the house, because you're just completely absorbed in the persona that you've become. These are blue light glasses. So as you're enjoying the pornographic screens. Material on your screen time.
You know me.
It's not going to hurt your eyes. Yeah. All too well.
Very expensive.
These?
Yeah.
I think expense is relevant. I don't, maybe all right, some.
All right, yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah, we're not all in the yellow card doing our biggest tours of all time.
I don't know how.
To a poor man from Wales, would they be expensive?
They were less than 50 American shekels.
What? What's a shekel?
Like $41.
Were they?
Oh.
Amazon. Do you guys do Amazon? How does
that
work?
We've got Amazon, yeah. Well, the rainforest.
Is that with the rainforest? Is that like buggy or how are we delivering in your land? Yeah, please paint a picture.
Just throw away and you've got to walk towards your nearest Amazon.
Tie it to a rock.
I thought you were going to tell me they were like $1,000 or something.
No, God, no. I'm not that guy.
I don't know. You've got the.
I mean, I'm wearing Jordans, but these are $100. You got see your shoes are nicer than mine. You just fucked them all up. That's not my fault.
Yeah, well, but also DHgate from China, so they're not real. Is what I'm saying. It's 45 quid, is it?
I mean, yeah. See, the same. You're just wearing sunglasses on your feet. That's weird.
The old feet glasses. Finally,
why you gotta. What? Chinese sweatshop shoes? You're gonna throw
they're all Chinese sweatshop shoes.
I don't know. I hide behind the mark. I would hope that they would do something responsible. Are they not?
I don't.
All right, fine. I'll take them off.
Throw them out. Just throw
them. Fuck you, shoe.
Oh, if only there was an open window.
I now have to retrieve my shoe.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, someone threw a shoe over there.
Yeah, watch it.
I apologize. Some idiot.
Some scumbag. I'll go get it.
Are you leaving? No, don't leave. I'm going to get a shoe. See, what a gentleman with the accent. I think it's just over the top. You're a triple threat.
Yeah, I put it
handsome hair and a gentleman.
I'm actually American, but they told me back in the day. No, American. Oh, same thing. Well, that's your accent, same thing.
Your accent's so fucked up. I thought you said arrogant. I'm American, Gint.
I'm American. That was good. And arrogant.
Yes. Again, write that person's name down and I will tackle them for you.
Thank you.
On this boat, he's had so many compliments about his mullet or items of clothing he's wearing. Yeah. I think
I've got the best t-shirts on the ship.
Do you think that his head will be able to fit in the airplane going back over this Atlantic? They're going to charge you extra for that thing. It's so big.
Dude, I saw it firsthand.
I saw men and women.
Yeah. Yeah.
All creatures alike fawning over you.
It comes and goes.
That's why I had to hide my wife. Stuffed her away.
She's safe. I would never.
I know. You're a gentleman. We talked about that.
Yeah.
I think we found out he's the king of cruises, though, because he just seems to get all the attention. So it's being.
Which is why I bought these sunglasses. I needed a little sparkle in my corner.
Nice.
And I also noticed I wear shorter shorts than you.
Oh.
You got to work on the quads, baby.
Yeah. Well, I've done.
Let's go.
This is the first genuinely.
Oh, yeah.
People, so we're gonna end up posting photos from this online, obviously, and that will be the first time a lot of people will ever see my legs. I never wear shorts.
Why? Self-conscious?
No,
chicken?
No, just
I could get you on some diet and some exercise. We got to do some stretching, okay? I see what you do out there. All right, you're not as young as you once were.
Well, yeah.
All right, we don't want you rupturing an Achilles. Right, tearing a hamstring.
Yeah,
any of that.
I'm about a week.
Nothing to do with weakness, my friend. On wood, because I care greatly about my friend's body parts.
Hey,
thank goodness you're here, too, for keeping us on track.
Yeah, that's true. Someone's got to be, I guess.
Freaking 45 minutes of gibberish.
Yeah. But as we start to wind down on the conversation a little bit, I mean, you know, you've talked about so many incredible just kind of milestones and moments throughout your career. But is there being any in particular that you have a memory of where you just kind of took it all in and we're just like, wow, I can't believe this has happened, or I can't believe we've managed to do X, Y, and Z. Like, is there anything that really comes to mind, maybe that was your first time realizing what you were doing or what Yellow Card was?
No, not from from the early days. I think that's been pretty documented, like just all the MTV stuff. I have one of my favorite stories is we did a TRL thing back when there was an MTV and a TRL and a whatever. And there was a actor and an actress in the green room with us. And very attractive people, both of them. And they were promoting, I think, the second installment of the Underworld movie series. It was Kate Beckinsale. And I hope that she doesn't.
She's actually a big fan.
I hope she doesn't get mad that I use her whole name. I should have just called her Kate. So Kate was in the dressing room.
Yeah. A girl called Kate from a film called Underworld 2.
Yeah, it was some vampire movie. It was very intriguing. Great, great plot. And I think just like the acting wasn't overdone. It was just very tasteful. And they had done their segment and they were leaving. And I was like, we can't just not say hello to each other. And I was like, oh, are you guys leaving? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're done. I was like, man, it was just a pleasure working with you. And that's when I knew I'd made it, because I have a casual joke conversation with such a nicely crafted human being that is also very polite. And so it was like, I mean, early on, it was like moments like that, just disbelief. But I think looking at the last, just the nearest chapter of Yellow Card, closing the page in 2017, my daughter was little. She fell asleep at the show. Seeing everyone sort of happy and sad, like that they could be at that moment. And then the very next moment, fast forwarding to playing Riot Fest and looking out, it's always believed for me, like that song just has this thing that transcends what we do and has reached people on a different level that didn't have commercial success, radio success or whatever. That is just a song that people, it radiates with them. And I remember thinking, like, people still care about us. And that's why, like, I want to remind people, like, life is hard. Like, we go through things that people don't understand. And so for me to stand on the other side of that page from a dark page, but content, right? Knowing that we saw all these things and these sold out shows and all over the world and Kate Beckinsale and all that good stuff. Going from a dark place to a place where it's like, I'm reminded that people care. I just think like that was the greatest feeling. It was the greatest feeling. And now the tour and sitting here with you guys and being out here with peers and musicians and friends and fans, like that, just like zooming out and seeing what we get to do and trying to do it the best of our abilities. That's the part that I think about all the time.
Nice.
Beautiful
wrap up.
Yeah, you're just everything. The way you speak so passionately about everything is just beautiful to hear. So
infectious,
thank you
as well.
Thanks, man, for taking the time out to do this and to speak
to us. Thanks for
having me. We've wanted to do a one-on-one with you for, well, two-on-one, I guess. With you for...
doesn't everyone? It's quite the dream, isn't it?
No, two-on-one later on.
Hey, yo.
But no, thank you so much. It's been wonderful watching the sets and excited for more.
We're doing hugs live on the air.
Do it. Just thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to Sappy Podcast!
Yes, woo! Yes, Y, E, and S. One of my favorite Americans of all time.
Ooh.
The beautiful, wonderful, oozing positivity, Sean Mackin,
of Yellow Card. What a fucking great chat. I loved fucking learning everything from what he did after Yellow Card, what he's been doing in between, his take on what it's like to be back. And I even loved, even when we toured with him, I didn't check out what his fucking gear setup was or what was going on ever. I just went, oh, violin just turns up out of the PA. So it was good to hear about gear and equipment. And yeah, it was just fucking an absolutely fantastic chat with one of my favorite humans on earth. Thank you very much, Sean Markin. We love you, Lords.
We do. That's the thing. It's the little details you just don't think about. And then when we get a chance to ask silly questions like that, is one of my favorite things ever. And just that whole boat experience is probably some of the best week of my life. I've gone on record. I've gone on this podcast and said it was the best week of my life.
Too late now. You've said it now. You fucking said it now.
Yeah, well,
unless
true.
You've had a better week since. Have you had a better week since?
No. I've been sad since because it's not well, as good as that as the cruise week. So, wow. But yeah, just getting to see them play every day was a treat. And especially in the theater when they did Ocean Avenue in full. They were supposed to do it acoustically, right? And they went, oh, we're seeing other bands do it live here. And because you guys have been really cool with us, we're just going to do the full band instead, like on the fly. So fair play to them. And that's how much and how cool they are. They're going to be touring the States this summer with Third Eye Blind. Hopefully they'll be back this side of the pond at some point.
Please.
And I love the fact that doing a chat on the boat is a bucket list thing. But of course, the moment we talk about beef with Story of the Year, one of Story of the Year appears.
Bound to happen. Bound to. Yeah, we were like, oh, here we go. We're going to have a fucking... It was the first time I was like, I really wish we started recording these podcasts visually because we might be about to watch a scrap now. But no, it was fucking fantastic. Go back and check out our Emo's Not Dead Cruise podcast because there's some fucking brilliant chats on there with almost all of the bands who played it. So fucking go and check it out. It was such a fucking good time. Go and listen to us gushing over how good it was. I won't go on because people are going to think that we had fucking definitely been paid. But it was a fucking great time. And they're going to need a bigger boat. Let me just add that again.
Well, if you follow us at Sapling Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter, you'll know that we've had a busy few days going to a lot of different gigs. And we're actually running a competition this week for one lucky listener and a friend to win a pair of tickets to go and see Pierce the Veil. Good friend to the podcast, Pierce the Veil, on their UK tour next week. So that's at Sapling Pod to enter that. But yeah, we've been to a few gigs. I went to see Fight Star play the first show in about 8 years at Wembley Arena, which was very wholesome, very screamy, very shouty. And you and I then went to see The Pendulum.
The Jalumas, I'm calling them now. Jalum. I'm shortening everybody's name. Like The Dilumman. Yeah, we went to see Pendulum in Cardiff and it was fucking class. They were thumping. After it, we got to spend some time with Gareth, Rob and their management. And it was absolutely lovely. What a lovely, lovely evening. That's the first time I've been out past 2 a.m. of my own accord in Cardiff for quite some time. Woo-hoo-hoo. So, yes, we had a fucking great night. So thank you very much to Pendulum for looking after us. They didn't have to, but they did. And it was fucking brilliant. And it was a shame that Matt Tuck didn't turn up to do his bits. But it's also a shame they didn't ask another Welsh screamer they know, because I would have fucking done it. Let me do it, man. Let me do it. All the song they do with In Flames. Let me do that one. Absolutely wonderful night.
Yes, very, very much so. I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed having a dance. And you can go and see a lovely photo of us, Gareth and Rob from the band on our Instagram.
I don't think Rob wanted to be in that photo. I'll say it again. I said it on the night. I'll say it now. Yeah, I just said, Gareth, let's get a photo of us for old time's sake. And then someone went, quick, wait, I'll get Rob. And then Rob was dragged over while ordering a drink. And then he looks bewildered in the photo. So go and check it out. That's Happening Pod on the Instagram. Good times.
Funny times. Without further ado, if we head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank each and every week for supporting us in our wonderful Patreon community. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be able to exist.
Honestly.
Literally, our favorite part of doing this, just seeing the community and seeing them interact with each other, and that there's a whole load of friendships being made off the back of this Silly City podcast. So if you'd like to get involved, that's patreon.com/sapnin. But Sean, as always, is going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tier.
Yes, as Morgan mentions every week, there's loads of names in the description. We thank those people. Everyone who's part of our Patreon, thank you. Genuinely thank you. Honestly, wouldn't happen without those people. So if you listen to this and you've listened to a few episodes, you should personally be going around thanking these people individually. So thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Scarlett Charlton, Dilly Califragilistic, XBLA Grimwood, Mitch Berry, Nathan Croshaw, Liam, Harry, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Kidron of Nothing Minor, great band. See? Thank you very much. Alexandra Pemblinton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Muddy Grimwood, Pick It Up. That was Scott Jones, formerly Scott Jones. Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robinson, Stephen Asson, Kate Puttack, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendry, James McNaught, Martina McManus, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, James, Sean Foynes, Evan, Thomas O'Neill, Ollie Amesbury, Dan Peregrine, Emily Perry, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Ghost Parcel, Josh, my mum says the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Lovely woman, terrible surgeon. Crisp. Nice. Thank you very much, Vicky, Laura Russell, Pip at Life Garden Band, Fraser Cummins, Sophie Ansell, Lavender Lee Martin, Harry, oh, there's Harry twice. Kyle, I Can't Die versus Raiders rematch Smith, I'm up for it. Get one of these promoters to book it. And last but not least, Connor Lewins and family, thank you very much to all of them. Woohoo!
Woo! We love these people very, very, very much. Thank you again for supporting us. Without you, things like this wouldn't be able to happen. We wouldn't be invited onto a boat to do these podcasts and have these conversations. So thank you for being a part of it. And we'll see you next week and every Friday for more ridiculous fun.
Yeah, fucking this was a good one. Love me some marking. Sapnin! Lovely stuff.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.